This episode is brought to you by Zoll. Sudden cardiac death claims 40 to 45% of all low EF heart failure patients, and even the newest drug therapies don't reduce risk overnight. Learn which heart failure patients may benefit from a LifeVest wearable defibrillator during medical optimization. Visit Zoll.com/heartfailure. The ACC does not assume responsibility of content of sites external to ACC.org.
From the American College of Cardiology, this is Dr. Kim Eagle, ACC.org Editor-in-Chief, with this week's Eagle's Eye View. This is your weekly cardiovascular update from ACC.org. I'm recording this conversation on Monday, September 14th, 2020. There were three articles related to COVID-19 this week that I thought I'd bring you. One looks at the frequency of pulmonary embolism in patients hospitalized with COVID-19. Another is a very interesting paper looking at cardiovascular MR in patients who are competitive athletes who are recovering from COVID-19. And lastly, an important study, a randomized trial of azithromycin in patients who are hospitalized with COVID-19. So the first paper was a study of pulmonary embolism in France, and it was an observational study looking at adults who were hospitalized with severe acute respiratory illness with coronavirus. And they were hospitalized between February and April of 2020. The study was about 1,200 patients. About 8% were diagnosed with pulmonary embolism. And as you might expect, those with PE were sicker. They required ICU care 31% versus 13%, mechanical ventilation 24% versus 7%. The presence of PE alone was not associated with an increase in mortality. When they looked at factors associated with increased risk of PE, it included those who got therapeutic anticoagulation prior to admission, prophylactic doses of anticoagulation during hospitalization, if they had an elevated C-reactive protein, how long they had symptoms before they got hospitalized, and male gender. The article, I think, illustrates the fact that PE is not uncommon, 8% of these patients, and it does stress the importance of the clotting tendency, and I wanted to just bring the notion that international guidelines currently recommend pharmacologic prophylaxis unless contraindicated in adult and adolescent patients who get hospitalized with COVID-19. The International Society on Thrombosis and Hemostasis published recent suggestions that low molecular weight heparin is the preferred agent with either intermediate low-dose molecular weight heparin or prophylactic dose unfractionated heparin as alternatives. Clearly, the science of the clotting tendency in COVID continues to evolve, and we'll look for further studies that elucidate our best treatment strategy. The next article came out this week in JAMA Cardiology, and it's a study where athletes, competitive college athletes at a single center, were referred for evaluation if they tested positive for COVID-19. And there were 26 athletes in all, of whom 58% were male, all types of sports, football, soccer, lacrosse, basketball, track and field. They all underwent cardiac MR. 12 of the patients had mild symptoms, and the rest had no symptoms at all, which certainly illustrates the fact that in young, healthy people, often they are asymptomatic. None of the patients had ECG or troponin abnormalities at all. When they looked at the MR results, four athletes, or 15%, had elevated T2 signal and late gadolinium enhancement. This would be consistent with myocarditis. A couple also had pericardial effusions. Eight patients, or 31%, had late gadolinium enhancements without T2 elevation, suggesting possible prior myocarditis. In all, then, 42% had late gadolinium enhancement. So the authors concluded that cardiac MR in these patients does suggest a fairly high frequency of some level of prior myocarditis. These patients are asymptomatic. And this rate, 42%, was similar to a study of 93 healthy triathletes published recently where 38% were seen to have late gadolinium enhancement. Obviously, this does not have a control group. And, of course, this does not imply that we should be doing magnetic resonance imaging in young, healthy people with COVID. What it does illustrate is the fact that we don't know the natural history of mild inflammation of the heart in patients who've had COVID-19. And this is really central to the debate that is going on across our country about college athletics. Even if you can screen people, is this risk of potential COVID-related comorbidity, either now or later, sufficient that we should strongly consider whether to allow competitive sports to go forward? More to follow, but I thought it was a really interesting study. The last paper is an important one published in The Lancet, and this is a randomized trial of azithromycin on top of hydroxychloroquine for patients hospitalized with COVID-19. It was a clinical trial in Brazil. All the patients got appropriate oxygen therapy, mechanical ventilation, etc. They were randomized to get azithromycin 500 milligrams once a day for 10 days, plus standard care, and everybody was getting hydroxychloroquine, which has been adopted in that country. And they followed them for a primary outcome, which was basically a 6-point ordinal scale with higher scores indicating death, mechanical ventilation, etc. So there were roughly 200 patients in each group, and there was absolutely no difference between the azithromycin-treated patients and the control. There also were no significant differences in adverse events, although the study was small, 200 patients randomized to each arm. They did conclude that there's no evidence that adding azithromycin to hydroxychloroquine improves clinical outcomes. And that part of the trial is supported by other larger studies we've seen. Perhaps more importantly, I guess, some of the larger studies have suggested that when you add azithromycin to hydroxychloroquine, we can see effects on cardiovascular conduction and long QT. So this is probably not a combination that we want to adopt. Well, we've covered pulmonary embolism in COVID. We've talked a little bit about some of the changes that we see in athletes who've had a COVID-19 infection. And finally, the fact that azithromycin in this relatively small randomized trial did not appear to benefit patients with COVID-19 pneumonia. The COVID-19 hub on acc.org is great. I recommend you go there. These articles will be there, the trial summaries, the journal scans, etc. And I hope you have a very healthy and safe week. I enjoy giving you the Eagle's Eye View every week. And until next week, take care. This is Kim Eagle. I'm out.